This was for a brother, if he be here, but I don't see him here today, so I'll put this as... You know what it is, don't you? Thank you, Ruthie. That's okay. Jim found it cleaning. He's like, this belongs to somebody. There we go. Mm-hmm. Pat just left some of his mail here. So it's okay. What's that? Oh, okay. Well, I hope he's going to be okay. Hey, Luke. I can give you a hug, buddy. Okay, go have a seat. I'll see you in a little bit. In fact, I'll see you all the time. I'm going to be looking right at you. So keep your tushy in the seedy, okay? There you go. So, guys, let's take a look. First of all, I want to tell you an encouragement. Barbara Candy, if you were aware, she had gone to the ER. She's doing better. She was dehydrated, feeling a little sick. She's still not feeling great, but she's back home with her daughter, and she's doing better now. So if you want to send her a card of encouragement, I'm sure she'd appreciate it or a little call, but she's okay. We had a worry this week when we got a call that she was in the ER. If a lot of you guys might not remember her. She's a sweet little lady, and she lived up to her name. She would make you candy. She would make you anything. She was the sweetest thing, and she would love to cook for people and make things. But how... Oh, brother, you want to say something? Oh, no, sorry. I just saw your face. I'm like, oh, give me something, Dennis. What's going on? I can tell you right now that we are grateful for the great work our God does. And Satan, you know that's one of the ways he pokes at us, right? Is through our health and our bodies. And that's what we're going to talk about today is Jesus, and still going on in the Gospel of Luke. He's dealing with something that many times we've seen this in Scripture, where not just Satan, but even the works of Satan, the effects of what he's done. You guys all know somebody started this big, giant kind of, you know, thing here. And he started this ball rolling a long time ago, and it kept on going, didn't it? And unfortunately, here, we have to deal with some of those after effects. Anybody like living in a fallen world? There's good things about it, right? But there's a lot of bad we don't like. I don't know anybody who's happy when somebody close dies. I don't know anybody who's happy when they get sick. I don't know anybody who's happy when we see evil perpetrated in the world. Dennis was talking to someone the other week, and he shared some of the stories that they heard from the little kids crossing our border, the abuse they suffered and the tragedies just to earn a pass to cross the line. Folks, that does not make me want to sing, you know, what a wonderful world. No, it's a fallen, broken world. Now, there's good aspects to it, but we can't ignore what's there as well. And God doesn't either. See, God just doesn't want to come and say, okay, well, let everybody play nice. He says, no, I'm going to bring justice. I'm going to make right every wrong. And so one of the great things we have today is we get to see a bit in Scripture where Jesus is doing a little bit of this. But here's the thing. Do we always see God's justice in the time that we want? No. Now, if we want to be honest, God's justice in our lives, sometimes when we're the one who needs that justice coming down, we're like, mercy, give me time, give me time. But we look over there, that guy wronged me, Lord, get him, you know? Little bit of a double standard, but in the end, I trust God and His infinite wisdom, knowledge, grace, and love that He is going to bring justice when it's needed, and He will give me the strength and grace to stand up to whatever I need to stand up to. Right? Now, the next thing about that is you need to say, Ryan, if that's the case, stop your groping and whining and moping. I meant whining and blah, blah, blah. You know, right? Because God's going to bring what He needs to you in His right time. Now, we can take a few things. How many of you just love to go over the attributes of God? Right? You ever heard of those omnis, right? The omniscience, right? We think, you know, Dr. Fauci, I am the science. No, God says science is knowledge. Omni means all. Omniscience, omniscience means all knowledge. God knows everything. He is the ultimate know-it-all. But He doesn't just rub it in our faces, does He? He says, no, trust me, I have the answers. I literally know it all. I'm omnipresent. I can be everywhere at once. I am immutable. I don't change. God is eternal. He exists eternally past, eternally future, and eternally now. Anybody else got that claim? That's why He can say, you want to tell Him who sent you? Say, I am. Because that's who I am. I was, what? Remember the God who is, who was, and who is to come. The God who is to come. He says, I fill all of that. Past, present, future. Look at you. Look in there. You want to see the future? I'm there staring back. Look at the past. I'm still there. Look past before time was, and I'm there too. That'll blow your mind, right? What about going far back? God was so far back, there was no back. He just was. That's the best way He can describe Himself. He is self-existent. Folks, I don't know about you, but I had to have a mommy and a daddy get together to make me here, right? Some of the kids are going, huh? So we all understand that we owe our existence to something else. And in fact, Scripture tells us that God has knit us together and woven us together within the womb. It is an act of God, yes, partially through people, but it's a work of God. I had a beginning. Guess who didn't? God. Uncreated. Amazing. One of those great things about God's attributes is we call Him transcendent. He is holy. He is other. You see, people try to look at Him and say, well, they keep putting, well, how do you vision God in your mind? Well, He's kind of like me. Okay, maybe in some ways, but be careful with that analogy. Because God is holy. Remember what holy means? It doesn't just mean pure. It means separate. He is removed and apart. He is outside of creation. Yet the God who created all things and is outside of it chose to enter into it and become part of it. That's why the incarnation is so amazing. But God's transcendence is still there, meaning He's not just outside, He's above it. There's a word in there we use for kings and queens. We call it sovereignty. It means that God reigns over everything. He is king of the universe. So God's sovereignty is exercised also in His seasonable timing. God is always king. The question is, sometimes I want Him to be king in a certain way, and it's not in my timing, right? And so we have here a joy, because Jesus visited a woman here, and He helped her in a way where she needed Him. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 13, where we were last week. Go to verse 10. We're going to start there. But the first point of your outline is God's seasonable sovereignty over, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to think it's weird, the Satan. Well, why did it put the article in front of that? God's seasonable sovereignty over the Satan. Do you know why? When that word was first used and started to put in there, now there's roots of it back in the Greek and the Hebrew, but it's a word that has a meaning. We talked a little bit about this before. You see, because the truth is that in God's time, He will conquer Satan and all enemies of the cross. Amen? Amen. God is going to do that. We see the Satan because that name has a meaning. In fact, a lot of times the article was included in the title. We talked about it. It means accuser. It means one who is pointing fingers. Look at them. It was a legal term for somebody who would say, you did this. He's called the accuser of the brethren. How many of us know that there's a difference? Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Satan will accuse and point. See, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, but what does He do? He convicts so that you will come and be forgiven. So that you can come and get right. Satan just accuses to tear you down. There is no edification or building up in Satan's accusation. Now, as we read together in Luke chapter 13, verse 10, we're just going to go a couple in. It says, and He, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who, for, check this out, 18 years, had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent over double and could not straighten up at all. It's easy to take a look at that and say, well, that's just whatever their hokey thinking was at the time. No, this is what the Word of God said. Sickness caused by a spirit. In fact, even later, Jesus Himself says in verse 16, this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. For behold, 18 years. Should she not have been released from these bounds on Sabbath? Folks, we talk about the attributes, the names of God. And remember, the names of God describe Him. I am. We talked about that. In the same way that the things we call Satan. Let me just give you a reminder for some of the things. And I mean no glory to this evil devil. Let's talk about him. He's called the adversary or the opponent, the false accuser, slanderer, accuser of the brethren, the destroyer, lord of the flies, Baal-Zebub. You want to know what's funny? You switch a couple letters, it means the lord of the dung. I think they said that they thought people might have switched it around to make fun of him just a little bit. He's called our enemy, an evil spirit. Guys, does any of this sound good to you? No. The dragon, the liar, murderer, serpent of old, power of darkness. How about ruler or prince of the power of the air and the little g, not like God, God, but God of this world. He is not good. And what does he do? On top of those things that describe him, he said he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's the destroyer. He steals. He kills. He maims. He masquerades as a being, an angel of light. And he tempts us. He sins. He rebels. He schemes. He possesses. And he blinds the minds of the unbelieving. Folks, Scripture doesn't say anything really that this guy does is anything he does is good. Which is so scary that so many follow him and think that they're doing right and good. But we recognize many do it because of their blindness. But we want to be a reminder of God's holiness, that God came not just to bring us out. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Satan is already declared loser. You guys got that, right? The Word of God says because of the cross and the work of Jesus Christ. Remember, it says that Satan, it says he who had the power of death, that is Satan. Did you notice it's past tense in Scripture? Because right now, though we may die, what is it for a believer in Christ Jesus? The power of death doesn't bring us death. Now you think about it. Remember before in the garden? Adam and Eve, they sinned, they fell, they had this thing. And God says, let us kick them out. Keep them, lest they eat from the tree, right, of life, so they wouldn't live forever in this fallen state. Sorry, guys, but getting booted out of there to the projects was a good thing. I don't know about you guys. You remember the people way back in the day, right? They lived a whole long time. And it says in the days of Noah, their thoughts were evil continuously. You guys know any 970-year-old people that are still out there trying to do as much evil as they can? Whew, man, I got problems enough with 5-year-olds that want to do evil, let alone 905-year-olds who want to do evil. That was a limiter because of wickedness on the earth. There was a good reason God did that. And God says, no, they will not live forever like this, but I will make a way. In fact, I love it. Genesis 3:15. You know what? Jesus was promised to do what? Crush the head of the serpent. You know what I like even better? You know Romans 16, 19 and 20? It says, be excellent. In fact, there's a song, and it's the only reason why I kind of remember it so much. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Now, in the song, it was a lot of fun because we'd all jump up and stomp. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Man, I want to get you guys doing that. But I know not every knee, and they say every knee will bow and tongue confess. I know not every knee will jump up when I say. So, that's going to hurt some knees. But right now, let us at least think and move on here. We talked a little bit before about God's holiness, how when he cuts apart and removes something, it was for good, right? God's just not cutting off, because sometimes we look at God, you're separating and breaking up kingdoms and families and all these things. We think that's horrible. But we don't realize God says, no, 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 I am cutting you out so I can bring you to something better. You don't want to be in the world that is dying and going away. You don't want to be in Satan's kingdom and have his rule over you. He didn't sound like a good leader, did he? Satan's a bad daddy. You don't want him. And so God says, I want to cut you out of that kingdom and put you in mine. I want to take you out of this family. And I want to put you into what? Mine. He's not just there to separate for the purpose of it. He's giving you something better. In the same way, when we look at certain things that seem like they're negatives, like the Ten Commandments, right? Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this, right? You know how it seems bad? It seems bad to a sinner, to someone who is, well, wait a second, I am doing that. God, you're just telling me no all the time. Flip it around. How about a child of God who, although they may sin, is walking and trying to walk with Christ? Those just aren't a bunch of no-no-nos. They're like, wait a second. You're telling me what I could be like and I should be like. You're showing your own character. You're showing me what I would be like. It's not just, no, don't do this. It's that a child of God will love God and not worship any idol or any other thing. A child of God is going to put God first. A child of God is going to honor his name. As a child of God, I want to do those things. Not just avoid the negatives. I want to be the positives. I want to love God. I want to not worship other things. I want to worship him alone. Forget, I wish I didn't have to be told not to worship things. I wish I just worshiped God and it was perfect. And I never even thought about going to the other things. I wish I could sit there and say everything. You know what? I'm going to honor. A child of God will honor his mother and father. A child of God will honor marriage. A child of God will honor human life in all its forms. A child of God will honor truth. A child of God will honor possessions. Not just mine, but yours too. And a child of God even will not even begin, I pray, to even look at that. I'm going, oh, I want that. And you know that do not covet thing? That's a hard one to break, right? You get down the list going, I'm doing pretty good so far. Yeah, we have a hard time with one and two even. But we get down to the end and it's like, oh, by the way, don't covet after Dennis's chainsaw. Right? Hey, don't look at all that nice cedar I got outside of Lauren's place, right? Uh-oh, I made you target. You know what I'm saying? You could look at something and say, oh, wow, I want that. We know we can trip up, but we can look at those as a positive. And I want to bring a few things to point, because in the same way that God is divided, like we talked about before, we got to remember, even in the positive things we talk about, it's a negative. But let me ask you this. When God is doing all that division, who is it a negative to? It's Satan. Guys, when God is cutting you out of Satan's kingdom and he's putting you into God's kingdom of eternal light, whose kingdom is he harming? Satan's. You see, God's deliverance of men and women out of bondage and death of Satan's kingdom, God is attacking Satan's kingdom straight up. When God maybe is dividing a family, in a sense, where he's having people come to faith, and just, it's not even like God's dividing it, it's that people are responding to the gospel of Jesus in a negative way. But you know what? That's an attack on Satan's family, not ours, not on God's. You know what his desire is? How about the rest of y'all come to Jesus too, and then y'all come? Anybody want to see whole family saved at the same time? Amen? We don't need division. How about y'all just come to Jesus and we'll go together? I'd rather go with somebody on the road than alone. Amen? Take my hand. You see, God's division of the family is actually an attack on Satan's. God's division of Satan's kingdom is his attack on him. How about the division of the ages? He separated us into these last days. How do I know? Because you're here. You were born into him, right? And he sets a limit on Satan's days. Anybody else happy that Satan has a last day in Scripture? He says, this is it and you're done. He is called, in fact, in one point, the God of this age. But we recognize as well, God has a planned end for him, right? There is going to be a new world that sees nothing of Satan. It also sees nothing of tears, of mourning, of weeping, of death and sadness and pain and brokenness. This is the world God is sending us apart for. Don't be in love with this world, which is passing away with its lusts and its desires. Sure, appreciate the good. Love the people out of there, but recognize, you know, just like our power went. Guys, we don't know when Pioneer's going to have power and not these days, right? The rest of you say, I've got my Generac. I know I'll have power. Wow, wow, you know. We don't know when things are going to be here or not. All I can tell you is that you're never going to see the heavenly Jerusalem have flickering lights. Amen? What did God say? He says, behold, the Son and the Father will be enthroned there on the earth, and there will be no sun, for the Son and the Father, God, Yahweh, is the light. No night lights needed, folks. No scary darkness. God is all and in all. You see, guys, God divides, like we said before, in judgment. Because guess what? Scripture says Satan has been judged. And like we talked about going arm in arm, right, on the way to the judge's seat. Remember, was that a couple weeks back? Guys, Satan's already had his sentence. It's just right now, he's not incarcerated yet. And he's not being nice while he awaits his date. And he is on his way out to do as much as he can before the end of these things. I think it's easy. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. You know what I like about that? It was really hilarious because I was reading that section in Scripture and then I'm writing it down in my sermon notes and I said, you know what, Satan, you didn't. I wasn't speaking to Satan, by the way. I don't want to cross over in that Jude area where it's like defiling, just the Lord rebuke you kind of thing, right? Well, I was looking at it and I said, he didn't fall, he got pushed. And then I was reading through the Scripture and then someone else in their commentary said down there, it is as if more as if Satan was not fallen but pushed out of heaven. I'm like, someone else got the same idea. Fallen just kind of, oh, no. It was boot. You gone. You see, he was chucked out. But we recognize there is indeed yet an end. The devil's final division, it said in Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are also, read Revelation, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. No chance for parole, folks. There's no POs in hell. They're not going to help you get back out. That's what Scripture says. Forever and ever gone. You see, his stuff is there. But here's the problem. Even though we know Satan is still here for a time, still causing problems, we still deal with the works of his hands, don't we? Are we still not in a battle? Are we still not fighting? We want to be aware of the schemes of the devil. You guys know there's a movie coming out. Heidi, if she's well, is she with the kids? Gotcha. She was talking to me on Sunday, last Sunday, about Nefarious, that movie coming out, right? Just a little background to this. I'm not saying go out and see it. I think it'll be scary, but here's the deal. This movie, and I saw trailers for it. I thought it was freaky. I'm like, I'm not going to go see that horror movie. Check this out. The movie's called Nefarious. It's about a killer who is demon-possessed. Everybody's like, ugh, right? Well, here's the thing. You know who made it? The producers of God's Not Dead. The guys who keep trying to bring Jesus into the cinema said, you know what we need to do? Anybody ever read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis wrote a small little book, a little booklet, and it's a series of letters. Now, they're all fictitious, but he said, maybe I can write something, or write a truth about the powers of darkness. I don't want to glorify Satan in any way, but I want to write this from the demons' perspectives of how they influence man, how they tempt us to sin, how they seek our destruction, how they are wicked and horrible. But I'm not going to tell it because the world seems to be dead on one point. I'm going to tell it from another point as fiction. That's what they did. They wrote a horror movie. In fact, there is so much Christ in this movie that the reviewers of the movie have said, gave it like a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. They said, it's just Christian propaganda. It's terrible. Guess what? Audience score, 96. I can tell you, those reviewers don't like Christian propaganda, but the rest of us do. You know what? We like seeing truth, even though if it's talking about truth about the enemy, do not be unaware of his schemes. In fact, that section in Paul, how about this one? Side point going to hit you. When Paul said, we are not unaware of his schemes, what Paul just said in the previous verses is that we should not be unforgiving towards each other, lest we let Satan get a victory in this, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Folks, when we're not forgiving towards one another in godly forgiveness, we're helping Satan out. So be careful there. That's just a side note, but I want to tell you, we don't want to be unaware of these things. Don't be ignorant, all right? Because God has come to defeat these things. Point number two, God's seasonable sovereignty over the soma. That's just a fancy word that means the body, the physical. In his time, God will heal all wounds and illnesses. It says, but when Jesus, going back to the account, when he saw that woman, he called her over and said, woman, you are freed from your sicknesses. Now, guys, the works we talk about of the devil, of all those evil things we mentioned that he did, it includes sickness and death. Satan is out there to destroy and do what he can. But how many of you also know that Satan is still on a leash, right? God still can say, no, you can only go this far. How many of y'all know that we're given power and authority in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit? Amen? Guys, I ain't saying go out there and try to find every demon under a rock, but I'm saying when you've got to go to spiritual warfare, God has not left you unarmed. We are told that we can put on the Spirit of God. And let me ask you this. The Spirit of God, or probably the armor of God, I'm jumping to the next point. The armor of God, mostly defensive, right? The helmet of what? Say it out loud. Salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of, or girding your loins with, truth. That's right, you're getting ready. Girding them loins means take up that long thing you're wearing and tuck it in there so you're ready to run. You got to fight. Okay, sometimes the NIV New Translation say the belt of truth because they're like, they're not going to understand pulling your robe around. But hey, it takes a little bit of time. Read up. So, you got this, right? Feet shod in the gospel of the good news, right? All these wonderful things we have. But let me ask you this. Where do we get salvation from? Boop. God. Where do we get our righteousness from? God. It's in Christ. Our righteousness is that of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. But he says again, his righteousness is imparted, given to us. We are considered righteous because the righteousness of Christ by faith is given to us as a gift. All the armor is his, even that wonderful offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the... That's right. We call it the Word of God, sword of the Lord, right? Watch out, it's sharp. It says it penetrates, dividing even the joint, marrow, soul, and spirit, the thoughts and intent. Don't worry, Jacob, I'm not coming for you. Not going to whack you with the Bible. We are given the Word of God. Guys, when Satan himself came to tempt Jesus himself, good luck. And he came and did it. What did Satan do with it? He tried to pervert the Scripture to Jesus. And what did Jesus respond every time with? It is written. And he went to Deuteronomy. It is written, it is written, it is written, three times. If only we knew what was written. When Satan comes giving us something that kind of smells and tastes like the truth, but it ain't right. We say, oh, wait a second. Remember, because when Satan was bringing up those things in scriptures to Jesus and those ideas, he was perverting and twisting the intention that were there. Well, if you're the Son of God, make the stones to bread. Of course I'm the Son of God, and of course I can do that. But I was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by you for 40 days, to be tested. I'm staying here doing what Dad says I do. And if I need to sit here, and if Dad tells me to make grilled cheese sandwiches out of the rocks, I will. But right now, I didn't get that order. So I'm sticking and waiting. And then, of course, we know after Satan couldn't do anything, he left, and then angels came and attended him. Better than being fed by ravens, I bet. They brought him double-double animal style, in and out, right? Mmm. That was yesterday, folks. Mmm. I can tell you. It was good. Now, see, Jesus had to wait a little bit, though. I don't know about you, but I haven't been 40 days without food or water. No, praise Lord. No, sir. No, do not want to do that. Guys, I want to tell you about somebody named Dahlia Knox. She's, from what everything I can tell and know, she is a wonderful woman of Jesus. She was in a car accident in 1987, which left her paralyzed, both legs. Now, Miss Knox loved Jesus. So from a wheelchair, she led praise teams, groups, outreaches, you name it, and kept serving the Lord for all those times. And you know what? She had been prayed over by everybody you can think of. Every time she went somewhere, someone would say, wow, you're in a wheelchair, can we pray for you? You know how many? Don't worry, Betsy, I'm not going to pray and pull you up and be like, hey, Betsy can walk. It's just, yeah. So, but I get it. But she had seen this most of her adult life. She was a young girl when this happened. In so much that she had given up on it and says, I'm not even going to ask God anymore to heal me. I'm done. In fact, I'm tired of every preacher coming up to me and trying to pray and drag me. She goes, I've been held up and dropped because they're so sure that it's going to work this time. Now, that being said, I want to tell you that she was at one prayer meeting, which she did not intend to be. She was just there to support her husband. And the pastor preaching said, I feel like I ought to pray for you. And she's like, not again. Pastor started to pray, and all of a sudden she felt things in her thighs she hadn't felt in over 20 years. Now, I can tell you can Google her, look her up online and see her testimony. But there's videos of her getting up out of that wheelchair for the first time. And it wasn't something where she jumped up and started doing a jig, but she all of a sudden had to stand. And then she walked around the room. Within 2 weeks, she was mobile. She could walk, but her legs were still weak. But God began to give her that feeling again and strengthen those limbs to do things she hadn't done since she was 12. God is good, and he heals in his. Remember, what you know what seasonable means? It means in the perfect season and just the right time. God brought about his sovereign healing of her body in just the right time. I want to tell you something too. I know I might run over, but hey, you know me. We probably will run over because of this. But when the Lord does these things, right, and he's working all this crazy stuff out, I want you to think about this woman. How many years was she bound by Satan? 18. That's a long time. It says she was doubled over and bent over. Couldn't anybody have your back out? And you're like, help, help me. I can't. My kids have watched my back go out and watched me just crumple. Poof. Dad, can I help? No, you can't pick me up. Where was she at? She was in church. She was in synagogue, doubled over, probably in a lot of pain. Now, I can't tell you she was there every Sabbath. But I can tell you that that was at least an indication that she was doing as much as she could to be good. Folks, I'm not going to share the name of this person because you'll know them if I say it. But they shared with me something real special. As I was preparing this week for this and they told me this, it just touched my heart. And they said, you know, I'm in pain every day. I have so much pain up and down my back. It hurts me every day. It hurts in bed. It hurts at home. It hurts in the car. It hurts here. They're saying it just always. But they said, you know what, I found something out. I can either be home all alone and hurting, or I can go to church and be hurting. But there, I can be seeing people I love. I can be praising God. I can be reading my word. I can be faithful in the ways I can be faithful. It's like, a lot of times, isn't that the truth? I don't want to go to church. There's good reasons not to be here sometimes. But in the same way, sometimes the same problems I'm worried about at church are waiting for me at home. I can be hurting at home or I can be hurting at church. I love that billboard that's poorly worded. It says, are you hurting? You know, feeling down and dismayed? You know, feeling beaten up? Let the church help. It's like, That should be clarified. We don't want to be, sometimes we feel like we get beat up sometimes, right? But here's the great thing about it. If we're in the body of Christ, yes, there can be some hurts and pains, but we also have a way to work that out, and we have a Lord who tells us to. Amen? Sometimes we got to do that. But I'm honored by that person and how they shared that, and that it reminded me that even though things can be hard, you know what? I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to what God said. And it's interesting in Hebrews where it talks about getting together and not forsaking the fellowship of the brethren. Remember what it says at the end? And all the more as you see the day approaching. That means as you are getting closer to the day of Jesus, as we look at our more frequent crumblings, as we see the world giving over to a spirit of Antichrist, worshiping the devil, not just their own selves and their own flesh, but Satan. And we're like, okay, what is this going to do? Well, the day is getting nearer. So all the more, let's get together and encourage one another as we see that day coming. We have? Absolutely we have to. You see, the Lord Jesus is the one who knows when He'll heal. Guys, remember Daniel? Remember when he was praying? He was troubled in his heart and he was wondering when they're going to go back. And he gets down on his knees and he starts to pray. And he fasts for how long? 21 days. And he's sitting there fasting the time. Remember when the angel showed up and told him? He says, Daniel, the moment you set your mind apart to focus on the things of the Lord and ask this, the answer was given. But I was coming and I was delayed. Folks, sometimes God's answer is already. In fact, let's just be honest. If God is omniscient, y'all know He already knows all the answers to all the prayers you're ever going to ask. Sometimes the fulfillment of the request, it may be delayed in our sight, but God knows just when it's going to arrive, right on time. That means I have to trust God when I see delay. When things don't work right, I have to trust God knows it. I was running out to preach to Pine Grove Community Christian School on Friday. I literally unplugged my laptop to go put it in my bag and go to my car so I could go preach. And the second I unplugged that thing, all the lights in the house went off. That was that Friday when we all lost power. My first thought was, what did I do and how did I do it? I just unplugged a cord and pew! The funny thing is we got stuff that's on battery power and it starts to go on. One of them is a little vacuum like a Roomba thing. And so when the power goes off, for whatever reason, that thing says, well, I'm not charging, time to work. So whenever the power goes off, boop, 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 and it just goes around. I'm like, why is the vacuum running? There's everything else. And then they said, no, Dad, it's the whole house. And I start listening. I don't know about you guys, I listen outside. Generators in the distance. I don't got one of those automatic ones. I'm like, okay, Lord, I can either not go and preach and start my generator, or I can just say, honey, we're not staying here that long. Just get out of the house and let's just get out of here and let's go do what we got to do, right? Now, the good news is I did not cause your power outage. It wasn't me and my laptop. But God has plans, and there's going to be things. Satan's going to come in to delay our answers. But they will arrive when God needs them to. Even though with that mess, I was there at school a couple minutes late. But you know what? Praise God, all the kids hadn't gotten in there yet. I had just enough time to set up the stage for a minute. And then they started rolling in. I'm looking at it going, all my grumblings about being late. I get in there. God worked it all out for the right second to when I was done. Then the kids came in. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. As soon as I finished, my family came in. We went and did our thing. Thank you, Jesus. How many times in the most disruptive, disturbing days you've ever had, and you start to look back at everything that I hated that got in my way, I look back and say, no, you worked this out, you worked this out, you worked this out, you worked this out. In fact, it was better than what I would have had. You're like, God, you know you delivered what I needed when I needed it. And even when it was left in a tough spot, you know I needed that toughness. Guys, I'm a tough piece of meat sometimes. And you see me, you go, no, you're not, you're squishy. What we say, of course, is we mean our heart. Sometimes I want to fight and I don't like things. God, I don't want it like this. And He says, I got to tenderize you a little bit, son. Anybody ever have that person who comes, let me give you a back rub, and all of a sudden they just kill you from the back? God has to work out those knots in our souls sometimes. And He has to say, no, you're not done yet. You sit at the table. You need some more massaging. I got to soften you up. He knows just the right time when we need these things. Let's go on if we could. I want to go to the last point if I could. Second to last point. I'll finish. God's seasonable sovereignty over the soul. We talk about God healing because all these external things that bother us, we understand that the most dangerous thing we have, guys, is not just Satan's attack on my flesh. It's what he does to the inside and the damage that's there. In fact, I want to ask a few kids to come up, assuming they're going to listen to instructions. Luke, Nehemiah. I need you to listen. You going to be good? Okay. Guys, can I have a few kids? Jacob, I see you there. Can you come up? Derek, can you come up for a minute? I ain't going to ask you to talk. Come on up just for a second. I want to show you guys something. I want to show you guys something about it. You're doing a good job, Jacob. Come on up, guys. Not going to be embarrassing. So here's the thing. You guys all know why we shouldn't sin, right? Why don't we sin? What do you think? Oh, I said I wouldn't ask him anything. Now I'm telling him to do something. Okay. We don't, Jacob, why don't we sin? You can tell me. Is sinning a bad thing?
Is sinning a bad thing?
No, I'm asking you. Okay, fine. That's always a good thing. Answer a question with a question. I don't know. Is sinning a bad thing? What do you think? How about this? Guys, what do you think? Answer it quickly. Is sinning a bad thing? Yes. Yes, it is. Why? Because God said so. In fact, all sin is a violation of the likeness and character of God. So what happens when, let's say, I do what I shouldn't do? We talked about the Ten Commandments. What if I worship other gods? Now, you guys can't see this as well as a black spot on a black shirt, but that's a little G for little G gods, right? Now, Jacob, I didn't say you do this, but let's just say you violate the rest of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Right? You've got an R in there. Uh-oh. Guys, I won't tell you what all these things are, but an A, you kind of can guess what this is. Noah, I know you didn't do this, but let's just say you got a sin on you. You can't take it off. Nobody can take off their sins. You know, that's the thing about sins, guys. They're sticky. Here, Lukey, you're going to be our little... There you go. You're going to be our coveter. No, unless we can find an appropriate one for Derek here. I don't know. How about... Here, all we got is a head, so... It's okay, it's okay. Come on out, bud. If you want to go sit down, go ahead. That's all right, go ahead. Sit down. We understand that these sins that we do have a habit of sticking to us, don't they? These sins can get out there, but here's the thing. Gentlemen, when we sin, can you remove your sins? Can you yourself have the power to take those off? This is just some sticky tape, right? But a real sin, when we break God's rules, when we violate His character, when we do that, Jacob, can you just take that off? No, you can't. Who is the only one who can remove your sin? That's absolutely right. And so take a look over here, guys. Jesus did something for you and I by shedding His blood on the cross so that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have what? Eternal, very good. And when we trade the death we have for Jesus' life, we receive that. What happens to our sin?
Left on the cross.
Our sin gets left on the cross. Now, I got more sin than you guys, but I don't get any more blood than you guys. My sin gets stuck up there because Jesus took care of it, didn't it? You see? Guys, here's the thing, too. Let's just say, though, now, first of all, if you guys want to go back, you did a good job. Thank you very much. Can you give him a hand, guys? Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat, guys. You did great. Thanks, guys. You see, guys, what's really important of this is I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Our faith in Him. Right? Oh, man. Oh. I promise I'm not murdering. I'm going to put that away. Let's put that back on the cross. Thank you. All right. We'll get that later, buddy. Hold on a second. So here's the thing, buddy. Jacob, when I sin, let me tell you this. Let's say that I'm being a liar and I tell you a lie. That's a sin, right? That L has to be slapped on me. If I tell you that lie and you believe it's true, let me ask you this. Hold on, bud. Not time. Not time for that. But Jacob, if I were to tell you a lie and you believed it, now you weren't the one that lied, right? I'm the one who lied. But if you believe it, does that kind of hurt you in a way? Yeah, you don't want me to lie to you, do you? I don't want to lie to you either. But our lies have a way of affecting other people. If I tell you guys something that's a lie and you believe it, now your idea is messed up, right? Something wrong. You got some stinking thinking in there because somebody told you something that's not true. You see, the real problem with sin is it doesn't just hurt me, Jacob. My sin actually hurts you. It hurts everybody. And that's the problem with the effects of sin. And Jesus says, I didn't just come to forgive sins. I came to destroy the works of the devil. Folks, he didn't just come to take away sins. He came also to fix the effects of sins. My sin that has hurt all of you, he came to fix. Your sin that's hurt me, he came to fix. He came to renew minds. Amen? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The new covenant, Ezekiel 36, what does he say? I will take your heart of what? Stone out and give you a heart of flesh. New mind, new hearts. You must be what? Born again, born from above. Jesus came so that we wouldn't just be forgiven, but so that we would be made new and good. Now, Paul even said, as he talked about this, he says, but the flesh, though it is dying, anybody have some dying flesh hanging on them? Though the flesh it be dying, in the spirit you are made alive. How many are happy one day we get new flesh that is living and good? Amen? New body. Probably not today, but we know it's coming. We know it's coming. As we wrap this up, guys, let's just say point number four, God's seasonable sovereignty over all societies. In his time, God's kingdom will have no rival. There will be no rival cultures. There will be no rival kingdoms or clans. There will be no separation. Guys, what is the picture in Revelation? Because in the end here, let me go back to this. In the last part of Luke 13, Jesus then goes and talks about his kingdom. The mustard seed, how it starts small, or the leaven in the dough. This kingdom that is starting here. Let me encourage you in this. Remember when Jesus was talking with Peter and the disciples and he says, you know, Peter's confession, right? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says, pardon, Jesus to Peter says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. He says, upon Peter, right? You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell in some of your translations, will not prevail against it. Folks, you want to know something? Gates don't come up and bump somebody. No, they come and attack the gates, don't they? If the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, you know what that means? That means God's kingdom is growing and prevailing against Satan's kingdom. Not that his kingdom is growing to buffet us. We sometimes think of that scripture meaning, help Jesus, I'm being attacked by the evil kingdom. Its gates won't prevail. No, the picture we have is actually that God's kingdom is growing and Satan's kingdom is what? Divided and under attack. And it can't withstand God's kingdom. In that picture, folks, we are not on the defensive. We're the offensive. Yes, Satan has his fiery darts. Yes, we have a battle and a warfare. But the picture is God will make sure his kingdom persists. So, folks, let's pray in encouragement as we think about this. So, Father, let's tie this together. Lord God, I want to thank you for these kids today that came up. I thank you for Jacob, Luke, Noah, Derek, and all the ones who didn't. But I want to thank you very much for allowing them to be a part of this. Father, would you help them understand the importance of what you've done for us in Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, you came to set the captives free. You came to defeat not just Satan himself, which you will do and cast him into the lake of fire, but you said you will also defeat his works and destroy them is the word. And it means destroy. You came all the sin and its destruction. Satan tempts us, but Lord, we still choose to sin. And that's on us. So Lord, I'd ask you to help us to seek not just forgiveness, but also a complete righteousness, not just to get out from the punishment, but to be right with God, to be forgiven, to be born again, to have a renewed mind and a new heart so that we would be new people. Not just people to get out of hell, but people who are joyful about being in heaven. Jesus, help us to understand the great gifts that you've given us and appreciate that you have come to destroy the work of Satan and you are setting up a family, a kingdom. You're setting up a new heaven and a new earth that are going to be so much better than the last. Help us to look forward to that heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Not look back on the world and the way things were and the way things used to taste. Help us to look forward to what you've promised, how good it is. Would you help these children, Lord God, be a generation that knows and seeks your face, that loves you, that loves your word, that is ready to serve. And we recognize that can only be, Lord God, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, by the will of God. So we ask you, Lord, be in our homes and in our churches and in our workplaces and in our schools. Lord God, would you drive out the doctrines of demons and help us to stand strong against them? Show us our place in our work, Lord God, and how to preach, teach, and how to be. May the homes be so strong in their teaching of you that the schools have no chance of success to indoctrinate the children. I pray, Father God, that you help us all to come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, to love the full counsel of your word. We are encouraged, Lord, because it's a victory we can't win, and we know only you can. So we thank you, Jesus, for your victory. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. Thanks, buddy.